there and kick that over? That's messed up, man. Oh, that's... Oh, good. We would have stared. What is she doing? That's weird. Hallelujah. Man, I got to... Pastor Ricky gets up here, starts talking about, you know, getting in touch with God and what he has for you. So many things start going through my mind, like, man, God is good, right? Yes. God is good. He gives us the ability to produce wealth. And he wants us to enjoy the things we have because they're a blessing to you from him. We've been learning recently, Pastor Ricky's been going through how to not participate in famine, right? And the lack of the world. So I'm kind of going to piggyback on that tonight. And I'm already getting excited, so I want to get into the word. I'm going to pray, and then we'll get into it. All right, Father God, thank you for this time. I ask that you would just use me, Lord God, to bring a message that whatever you want to, even if it's not on the notes, Lord God, that I just bring forth what the Holy Spirit would have me bring forth, Lord. We thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So, Pastor Ricky, like I said, 2 weeks ago, he asked a question. He's like, did you forget about the grapes, right? Who was here for that sermon? Who thought it was really good? Who got a lot from it? All that works for me, right? And so this is when we left. So we left, and I was driving down the road, and I was like, I'm going to call him. And so I called him, and I was like excited. I don't know if he could hear it in my voice, but I was pumped. I was like, woohoo, check this out. This is what I got. And so I wanted to share that with you this evening. But at the same time, I've been listening to a lot of faith teachings and meditation teachings and knowing who you are in Christ. And so we'll just see whatever God has to do for us tonight. If it goes buck wild, we'll stop at 8, like, because I think we're supposed to. And Heather told me I should. And we don't want Heather upset. We're gonna go back to Numbers, verse 13.
Chapter 13.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm pumped. And we're gonna start in verse 1, right? And I'm gonna stay in the Amplified Classic. And it says, sorry, I'm really going. And the Lord said to Moses, send men to explore and scout out for yourselves the land of Canaan, which I give to the Israelites. Keep an eye on that, which I give to the Israelites. And then, so from there, we're going to zip on down here to verse 27, where we'll read from there to the back end of it. They told Moses, I'll go to 26, right? And they came to Moses and Aaron and to all the Israelite congregation in the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh and brought them word and showed them the land's fruit. They told Moses, we came to the land to which you sent us. Surely it flows with milk and honey. This is the fruit. And you got to remember that Joshua and Caleb are there with a gigantic bunch of grapes that they had to put on a post, and two of them had to carry it. And when Pastor Ricky brought this up during the offering message on Sunday, he said, have you ever been to the grocery store and got some grapes there? And I was like, I didn't think of it that way before. Can you imagine, just for a second, if me and Mark went to the grocery store and we got a bag of grapes and we put a pole and we just walked through the store? We'd look kind of silly, right? Yeah. But that came to mind because that's where my mind goes sometimes. We look silly, but these guys could like barely make it back kind of deal, yeah. Right? And oh, God is so good. Just, he's like, hey, this is yours, by the way. And if you read scripture, he told them that they're going to go to a place that have houses they didn't furnish, furnished houses they didn't furnish. They're going to have wine from vineyards that they didn't plant. All kinds of stuff. And God's just like, this is yours. Have a good day. Right? And so, I'll go on. But the people who dwell there are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, there we saw the sons of Anak of great stature and courage. Amalek dwells in the land of the south. The Hittite, the Jebusite, and the Amorite dwell in the hill country, and the Canaanite dwells by the sea and along by the sea of, and along by the side of the Jordan River. And so, recognize something. They started doubting right here, right? Pastor Ricky went over that. And then Caleb jumps in. He's like, yo, shut your mouth, right? So that's the next verse. It doesn't. That's Clint's paraphrase. But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let's go up at once and possess it. We are well able to conquer it.
Yeah, amen.
Well able to conquer it. But his fellow scouts said, we are not able to go up against the people of Canaan, for they are stronger than we. So they brought the Israelites an evil report of the land, which they had scouted out, saying, the land through which we went to spy out is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the Nephilim, or giants, the sons of Anak, who come from the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. So here's what I want to point out. They started doubting and started remembering the things that they ran into.
That's right.
It looked like a little bit of hard work,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
In the natural, it looked like a little bit of hard work. But they forgot something. They forgot that God sent them, said, I give it to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when we as a people forget what God has given to us, when we start focusing on maybe the work behind it, right? Going to work.
Right.
Putting a little bit of elbow grease into things. And we start doubting the things that God has promised to us, whether it's health. And it's not like Pastor Ricky was saying, there's a huge difference between a promise and a covenant. Covenant is contract. God said, do this, I'll do this.
Amen.
Right?
Right. Yes. Right.
Amen.
So if we have a covenant, a contract with God that says, do this and I'll do this, and then we forget the contract,
right. And
we start going against the contract and not believing God for what's in the contract, God can. I mean, how many, if you've ever been under a contract,
yes,
right? Like, fault, right? Default.
Yeah.
Yep, everybody got to do their deal. And so what did God say? What's our part of the contract? Who said it? Believe. Believe. You ain't gotta go and sell your kids. You ain't got to go and perform some weird duty. All you got to do is believe. All you got to do is take God at his word.
Yes.
The word of God. That's all you have to do. Believe it. Believe what God said you can have. It doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter the circumstance. And if you can't say something good, like Mom always told us, right? Can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. It's the same way with belief.
Yes.
When we've come in agreement with the pastors and in different things, pastor has told us, he's like, hey, if you can't believe this way, keep your mouth off of it.
Yeah.
Stand back.
Yeah.
We don't need any doubt. Because if I'm believing with Pastor Ricky and Pastor Chelsea about going after the new building, and I'm in belief, right? But then it gets a little shaky. Maybe pandemic. And that makes me waver a little bit. And I lose my belief. And it's not so much that I lose my belief, but I start to doubt.
Yes.
Yes.
Right? And then I speak it. Ooh, I just don't know how we're going to do it. Attendance has been so down. Never mind the fact that just checks show up.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
We only had 4 people in service this Sunday. It's a rough one. Right? And then so that doubt starts taking root in your heart. And then And then you go to somebody else who was in that little group that got together and prayed about it. And you're like, man, I just don't know. It just seems real rough this last couple months. And they're like, you know what? You're right. Billy Bob, you know, he's the rich guy. He owns 17 businesses. He ain't been to church in months. I bet you we're barely making it. Right? So you've taken all that belief and you've started throwing garbage into the mix.
Yes.
And then you spread your poison.
Come on, say that.
Come on.
And where are we at? This is a hypothetical. But that's how doubt and unbelief gets in and infects your faith walk with God.
Yes.
Just a little suggestion. How do you come against that? Easiest way is to stay grounded in the Word. So when somebody does come to you and go, man, you know, like, that's not what the Word says. But yeah, but the Word, I mean, that's just the Word of God. I mean, you know, here's one. Check this out. There's churches closing everywhere.
Not this one.
Not this one. Mm-mm. And so, again, I'm just painting you a picture.
Yes.
Of what to stay away from.
Amen.
God said, I'll go before you, right? Amen. God said, hey, I gave this land to you.
Amen. That's right.
They goofed it up. They could have crossed the Jordan, that group that died off in the desert. They walked for 40 years with the same sandals, but they couldn't believe God to deliver them across the land across the Jordan. That's serious. They left. They were slaves, and they left Egypt rich. Like, you know what? We don't like you guys. We've been beating you. I have all this gold. Oh, good for you. A nice gold. No, it's yours now. That's the God that we serve. That's the God they serve. That's the God they forgot.
Yeah.
Amen.
That they didn't take at his word. The easy read version of we'll get back to it in just a second. I am switching to the easy read next, though. Towards the end, probably 33. My second, it's a second point. Double-mindedness will ruin you.
Yes.
We've got to, if we say, you know what, we believe God. I believe God that he's going to do what he said. That he gives me the ability to produce wealth.
That's it.
I believe God that he said that I am healed. I believe God that he said that he wants me to enjoy life. And then the second, you know, a cramp comes up. Maybe symptoms of a headache. Oh, here we go again. Mama had the migraines. Now you're believing your family lineage more than the Word.
Amen.
I'm a large person, and my dad has diabetes. This is true stuff. And my dad, I love him. He's like, you know, Clint, you got to watch. And I understand I have a part to watch, make sure that I'm taking care of the body that God gave me. But I refuse to accept diabetes. I told him, nah, that ain't me, man. He, well, you know, Clinton, I was just around your age. I don't care if you was just around my age. We're on a different level right now, sir. I love you. But I will not believe for something like that. Amen. I will believe that I take care of my body, and God will bless me, and I will be in health. Amen. I will not accept anything other than that.
Amen.
But we'll say I did say, oh, well, you know, it is that A1C kind of got up there. Oh, no, here it comes. And how quickly that'll push you in the ruin.
Yes.
How quickly you can get yourself caught down with a cold. My parents told me when I was younger, my grandpa died when I was, I think, a year before I was born. And my granny said, I won't make it past 61 or something. Like, I'm going to die when I'm 61. And like a month or so? A month after, my granny collapsed of a massive heart attack in our house, and she died the next day. That kind of faith. Because she had faith for it. She was going to die when she was 61. And she said it for years. 10 years, because it was in 89, I believe. So 12 years, because my grandpa died in 77. So you can have that kind of faith. If you want, you go after it. Amen. If you want to be sick, no. you go after it.
No.
Well, I get that. I'm just saying, if that's what you want, you can have it. Because that's spiritual principles put to work.
Absolutely.
You will have what you say you have.
That's right.
Amen. If you say you are healed, you will be healed. Or you are healed.
Amen.
If you say you will be wealthy, you are wealthy.
Amen.
I don't care what your pocketbook looks like. I don't care if you're between jobs. I don't care if you cooked ramen tonight for dinner. You are wealthy.
Amen.
The key is to get into the Word and know that you're wealthy. Know that you're wealthy. You have to have, this is where, I was talking to the pastors, and this wasn't part of the message, but I was talking to them in the room. So y'all know I have this dog, Hammer, okay? Some of you have met Hammer. Some of you have heard about Hammer. Some of you are tired of hearing about Hammer. I get it. But here's the thing. Hammer's a bulldog. I was listening to a sermon yesterday morning on my way to work, and it was titled Bulldog Faith, right? And it resonated with me because I have a bulldog. He's small. He's never going to be a giant bulldog. It's not in his blood, right? It's a Frenchie. So, but I as soon as I started listening, it's a Pastor Pearson, George Pearson, and then Sister Gloria Copeland. They preach. Man, they just and they're not even preaching. They're having a conversation. And they're talking about this bulldog faith. And I was like, oh, I understand that. I had a pit bull before, right? And then now I have this bulldog. So I'm used to bulldogs. And both of those dogs, when you looked at them, they have this pride.
Yeah.
A little bit of, like, je ne sais quoi. I'm just joking. But they look at it. Hammer sits down, and he sits like I sit, kind of off to the side. And he's just got, because it's mug, right? He's like, what? You want some?
Yeah.
He's tiny. What? You want some? That's how he, and so I'm thinking, the whole time he's talking about this bulldog faith, this aggressive faith, mm-hmm. All I could picture is Hammer and how he is with Gus. Gus is a larger dog than Hammer. Gus has flipped Hammer over on his back to teach him a lesson, but for the most part, he leaves him be. He's like, I don't want to mess with this, not today, right? And then, but how many of us let the devil be Hammer and we be Gus? What? I don't want to mess with that today.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
We should be like Hammer.
Amen.
Got that that right? Little buff chest, even though just a baby Christian, you know? Hey, buddy, how's it going? Buffed up, yeah. Giants in our own minds, in our own faith, knowing who God is, knowing that we have everything the scriptures promise us, everything the scriptures are in, we're in contract with God for in the scriptures. And then I started thinking again, you know what? Hammer's needing some attitude adjustments lately. And he's learning who has authority in the house. And so we'll apply that same thing to the dog again, but with us.
Amen.
And so the devil comes up and he's puffed up and he thinks that he's the guy. And he brings with him a sickness or a bill, a bad report. Just like Hammer brings me something he chewed on. Or he jumps on something he shouldn't be on. Or I catch him on a table. And I tell him, you know, you better get down. And he'll turn around. He'll go, what? Like, you know, got that little bit of attitude. What? You want some? I'm like, I do. Let's go. And I stand up and I tell him, you better get down. And then all of a sudden, like magic almost. Mm-hmm. Now, don't worry. I know this is church. Just said magic. I'm sorry. But all of a sudden, out of the blue, he's like, oh, my bad, dude. You mind if I go stand over here? And he goes and stands over there. And then he sits back there, right? He sits back there like this, like all angry. Right, with his mug. And so, because he's getting an attitude now, I'll turn around and be like, what do you want? And he'll go, hey. That's how we have to be. So many little things out of a little dog. We have to be aggressive, and we have to know who we are in Christ. And that's how you keep double-mindedness out of your faith walk. If you can grasp the scriptures, like Pastor Ricky was saying, he gives us the ability to produce wealth. He wants us to enjoy the things that he gives us. What's another one? We're more important than sparrows, right? The birds. The fields, he clothes them in such beauty.
That's right.
And I get it if you want to wear jeans, but man, get some good ones. Yeah. Have the holes pre-cut. You know what I mean? Like you don't have to buy the cheap ones and then they come cut and they look good, right? Do it that way. Huh?
Pay extra for those holes.
You do, pay extra. Me, I remember growing up, I remember iron-on patches.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All the money mom could have saved if she'd have known what style was going to be a little bit later. You think about it. So these guys, right? And this is double-mindedness that happened. Will you pull that back up? The 32? 20? Let's see. 31. Actually, it is 32. Pastor Ricky's rubbing off on me, I'll tell you what. I'll just tell you. So they said, man, Moses, it was just like you said. And what God said, it's flowing with milk and honey. And then 2 seconds later, after they got a little bit of fear and a little bit of doubt, they're like, oh, but it, and the, oh, wait, hold on. And there's the people there are huge and they're strong and they're able to do anything. And then they're like, oh, but the land, whew, it devours its inhabitants.
Where did that come from?
What?
Yeah.
The same guys that are strong?
Yeah.
The same guys. Yeah, those guys, they're devoured by the land.
Yeah.
No. That's that double-mindedness.
Yeah.
And double-mindedness will make you seem like you're stupid.
Yeah.
Because you don't make no sense. That's what they sound ridiculous. Moses, it's everything. Oh my gosh. You should see the mansions we get. Joe and I picked one out, but the dudes there, they're strong. And the land, it eats people. Is that not what it's, the Clinton paraphrase, but that's what it says. And so now all the Israelites are, oh my gosh, it eats people. And you got to remember, they were in the, carry the two. Had Korah already, I didn't read that far back. So any Bible scholars, had Korah already been eaten by the land at this point? I don't know. Yeah, I think they had. So the Israelites might have had a little bit of PTSD because they did watch the land open up and swallow people. But I don't know for sure. Don't quote me on that because I know it's in the scriptures. This might not have happened then. I didn't study that far back. Okay, so double-mindedness makes you look silly. And then here's the next thing. And this is, I got 5 minutes. I can bring it home on this. All right. Who did God say you are?
Yes.
Who did God say you are?
Amen.
So we've been because God is good. God has placed image on the hearts of the ministers, whether they're traveling here, because Dr. Ricky does that great series on image, how you see yourself in the Word, and how do you see yourself?
Amen.
What does God say you are? Who does God say you are? Do we get confused? Did we forget what God said? These guys did. That last verse, it says, we saw the giant Nephilim people there, the descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim. We felt like little grasshoppers. Yes, we were like little grasshoppers to them. Who said that? They did. They said they were like grasshoppers. In the Amplified and the King James, it says, we were in our sight grasshoppers.
Yes.
So we were in their sight grasshoppers. So they saw themselves as weak and insignificant.
Yes. Amen.
And that's the image that they put to these giants. Because if you'll notice, like when we're reading it, it's not giants. They're just descendants of giants.
Yeah.
So maybe they're like 6 foot tall, 7 foot tall. Maybe they're like Goliath, maybe 10 foot, right? Every Jewish person I know is a little bit shorter. They could have just been 4'9" or something like that. But here's the thing. They saw themselves insignificant. They didn't believe, they stopped believing what God had told them. They let fear and doubt start to eat away and steal from them what God had for them. And that's why image is so important. That's why knowing the scriptures is so important. Maybe you're not at a point right now where you're like, dude, you know what? I can believe God for anything, and that's okay. There's things I can't believe God for right now. Not because he's not able to get it. I know he is. But I can't hang my faith on that right now.
Yes. Right.
I'm not ashamed of that. Because I'm continuously progressing.
Amen.
In 2019, if you would have seen me, I was a lot of you did, but I was in a mess. I didn't know how to operate in faith like I am now. I knew I had faith. I had been healed. I'm somebody who was crippled. But things happen. And if you don't fill yourself up, if you let yourself get separated from the church. Now, if you go to Spirit Life, we like that.
Yeah.
We're family. If you go down the road, there was a church mentioned, we'll use that one. You go to Anointed Word, we like that. You're family. We'd love for you to be here. The thing is getting to a Bible-believing church, right?
Amen.
That's the key. But here's the deal. You let the devil pick you off, take you out of where you're supposed to be, you're like that gazelle on the Discovery Channel. You know the one I'm talking about. Frank, chain smoker, one hobbled leg, lion's got him. He's jacked up because he didn't stick with the pack.
Amen.
Maybe he's like, they don't really like me. Wait, I'll just hang back here. And all the while, mom, you know, he can remember mom told him he should stay with the pack.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Stay with the herd.
That's right.
It's usually, if you think about it just staying with the Discovery Channel thing, it's always some youngin, baby Christian, got separated.
Yeah.
Her old Frank, hobble leg, chain smoking elk, you know, stuck in the back. I say that chain smoking elk because there was a Discovery Channel spoof that it showed the elk or the gazelle. He was like a chain smoker. It was funny. So, but he's all in the back, right?
Yeah.
So it's not us, but old crotchety. Believers that they know everything. I don't even need to read my Bible anymore. Or them, those poor young ones that just haven't got themselves built up.
Yeah.
They're the ones that go first. And it's tragic. Not here. Hallelujah. Yes. Because as the herd, that's you guys. Y'all know this Wednesday night, your core group people.
Yes.
You see some of those young ones being a little weird, or you know, Frank. There's no Franks here, right? Man, I didn't think about that. And you just go alongside them and you say, hey, how's it going? You know? It's all right to be in fellowship outside of the church.
Yes.
That's how you stay strong. It's how you stay connected. It's how you stay having fun and enjoying life. And so you got to realize who you are in Christ. You got to realize what you are in Christ, how you are in Christ. Because God is good and he wants only the best for us. Pastor Ricky made mention he ain't up there with a baseball bat. He's not hitting you with the... I know we live in Arizona and we might feel this way during the summer, but he's not with a magnifying glass burning you. Just feels that way. We chose to live here or we're called here. But remember that. So, simply in closing, if God told you to go somewhere, go there. Because if he told you to go there, he's with you.
Yeah.
Double-mindedness will ruin your walk.
That's right.
Yes.
Get yourself in the Word. Know what it says.
Yeah.
Once you do that, you'll have a solid image of who you are in Christ.
Amen.
And once you have that image inside of you, you can be like Hammer. Just sits there all puffed up, thinks he runs the house.
Amen.
Be that way.
Amen.
Go after the things God has for you, and don't you forget it. And if you start to, get back in the Word and just rinse and repeat.
Amen.
Let's pray.
Amen.
Father God, thank you so much for this evening, Lord God. You're just so awesome. I love you, God. Thank you for the word that you brought, Lord.